Epistle to the Romans, chapter 13. Romans, chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, reading from verse 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armour of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantingness, not in strife and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Verse in Jude's epistle. Little epistle to Jude. Reading verse 20. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Third reading in Luke's Gospel. The Gospel according to Luke chapter 21. Luke's Gospel 21 and reading verse 28. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. The final reading in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4. First Thessalonians 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. The Lord has promised to bless to us the reading from his good word. If you consider those four chapters from which we have read, I'm sure there's one thing we should pick out from each chapter. In the Epistle to the Romans, chapter 13, the thought is, wake up. So you don't go to sleep in this meeting, wake up. When you and I come to Jude's epistle, the thought is, be built up. When you and I come to Luke's Gospel, chapter 21, the thought is, look up. And then when we come to 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, the thought is, caught up. So we're going to think about wake up,
and be built up, and then look up, and then finish on the thought of being caught up. Now, we heard yesterday from our brother John Stubbs, we've to render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Romans chapter 12, render to God the things that are God's, and render to Caesar the things that are Caesar, Romans 13. But when I come to this section of the Word of God that we have read this afternoon, it's a section that deals with contrast. And I want to point out, first of all, the contrast in the section. First of all, there's the thought of wake, and there's the thought of sleep. The verse says this, knowing the time, it is now high time to awake out of sleep. So there's the thought of wake and sleep. And then in the chapter, there's the thought of night and there's day. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. So there's night and there's day. Also in the section before us, there's the thought of the works of darkness and there's the thought of the armour of light. We've to cast off the works of darkness and we've to put on the armour of light. So remember, there's the works of darkness and there's the armour of light. And then finally, in the section, there's the thought of the Lord Jesus in contrast to the flesh. We've to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no occasion or make no room for the flesh. So it's a section that deals with contrast. But what I'm going to speak about very quickly this afternoon is this. I'm going to think about sleep. Now, our brother John challenged us this afternoon, and we need to be challenged in the ministry of the Word of God. I'm one today who believes this. If we saw more results in the ministry of the Word, we might see more results in the preaching of the Gospel. And we're preaching today for results. And our brother John challenged us this afternoon already. Do you and I really want the blessing of the Lord? And I've come to tell you this afternoon. If you and I are asleep, we won't get the blessing of the Lord. And it's high time to awake out of sleep. Now let me say two things today about sleep. There's a sleep in the Bible that is of God. For example, who's the first man in the Bible that slept? It was Adam. And it was God that made him sleep. God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. There's a sleep that is of God. Bible says this. He giveth his beloved sleep. Bible says this, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. So we're left without a shadow of a doubt. There's a sleep in the Bible, but there's a sleep in the Bible that is not of God. I'm going to speak on a few men today. And those men were sleeping instead of being awake. Now remember my verse. Knowing the time, it is high time to awake out of sleep. This man I'm thinking about that slept was this. Was the man called Samson. Now remember, there's many commendable things about Samson. Let me say three or four commendable things about Samson. You read about Samson in Hebrews chapter 11. And to get your name in Hebrews chapter 11, you must be a man of faith. So Samson was a man of faith. You know, there's three things said about Samson that I like about him. Listen to it. It says the Lord was with him. It says the Lord blessed him. It says the Spirit of God moved him in the camp of Dan. There's many commendable things about Samson. But I believe Samson was a man that slept. And because of his sleep, what happened? He was a man that lost his discernment. Listen today to what it says about Samson. I will go out as at other times. And I will shake myself. But Samson wished not that the Lord had departed from him. And Samson was asleep as to his state and condition. I tell you today, dear child of God, we might not be as faithful as we think we are. We might not be as popular, important as we think we are. Samson was a man that lost his discernment. You know, he lost another three things. Because of his sleep. First of all, he lost his light. The Philistines bored out his eyes. He lost his light. He lost his liberty. He was a man that was bound with fetters. And the third thing about Samson is this. Not only did Samson lose his liberty, not only did Samson lose his light, but Samson lost his life. And my verse today is this. Knowing the time, it is high time for you and I to awake out of our sleep. Poor Samson. But you know, I was thinking of another man. I was thinking of Jonah. Let me say two things today about Jonah. Jonah was a man that was sleeping when he ought to have been praying. And Jonah was a man that was sleeping when he ought to have been preaching. Listen to Jonah chapter 1. Rise, O sleeper, call upon thy God. If so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. Jonah slept when Jonah should have been praying. Jonah slept when Jonah should have been preaching. It is high time to awake out of our sleep. You know, I've been thinking recently about Noah. What's the first thing said about Noah almost in the Bible? Listen to it. Noah was a just man. In other words, Noah was a righteous man. What's the last thing said in the Bible about Noah? Listen today to it. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Have you got the picture? What the man was. The man preached. And that's the kind of man and that's the kind of woman the assembly of God needs today. A righteous man, a preacher of righteousness. Go through your Bible, you'll discover this. Noah was a man that walked with God, right? Noah was a man that worshipped God, right? Remember? Noah built two things. Noah built an altar, and Noah built an ark. God told Noah to build the ark. God never told Noah to build the altar. But remember, because there was an ark, there was an altar. In the ark, it's what God did for Noah. In the altar, out of appreciation, what God did for Noah. Noah built an altar, took off every clean beast, and every clean bird, and the Lord smelled a sweet savour. You've got the picture. Here's a righteous man. Here's a preacher of righteousness. Here's a man that walked with God. Here's a man that worshipped God. Here's a man that worked for God, and here's a man that witnessed for God. Noah was a commendable man. But you turn to Genesis 8. What do you read? Listen to three things about Noah in Genesis 8. First of all, Noah was drunk. Secondly, Noah was naked. Thirdly, Noah was asleep. Could I pause for one moment? Could I take that verse from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, is it? And let me quote Mr. Phillips' translation. Let him that thinketh he standeth today take heed, lest he fall
tomorrow. It is high time for you and I to awake out of our sleep. I want to ask two questions this afternoon. What's the date on God's calendar? What's the time on God's clock? My mind goes to Gander Bay, Newfoundland. I don't know if it's still there yet or no. But they used to have a notice board outside the Gospel Hall. There was a picture of a large clock, very large clock. And the time on that clock was 2:58. And underneath that clock were words something like this: it is later than you think. And I'm wondering today, dear child of God, is it possible? It is later than we think. Listen today now to my verse. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. You know the days of the Bible? Oh, yes. There's the day of Christ. There's the day of the Lord. There's the day of God. You remember four things marked the day of Christ. Going to be a day of rejoicing. That I might rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, nor labored in vain. It's going to be a day of rejoicing. It's going to be a day of reunion. The dead in Christ are going to be raised first. We which are alive and remain are going to be caught up in clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord, a day of reunion. It's going to be a day of review. Every one of us are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Not what we think we are. Not what men think we are. Was it A.M.S. Gooding that once said this? We're going to be turned inside out. It's going to be a day of review. It's going to be a day of reward. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. A day of rejoicing, a day of reunion, a day of review, and a day of reward. But what day are we living in now? Could I say three things about the day we're living in now? I used to love to hear the late Mr. Ramsay preach the gospel. If I heard him once, I heard him a dozen times. Listen to it. This is your day. And you can do what you like in your day. You have 24 hours a day. I have 24 hours in a day. And let me say this. You can serve self. And you can serve sin. And you can serve Satan. Or you can serve the Saviour. This is your day. But then secondly, this is the day of salvation. Listen to 2 Corinthians 6. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So remember, it's your day. Remember, it's the day of salvation. But I think our brother John Stubbs reminded us yesterday, this is the Spirit's day. If your worship is going to be acceptable, if your walk is going to be acceptable, if your preaching is going to be acceptable, if your witness is going to be acceptable, it must be in the power and the presence of the Spirit of God. Now, I want you to get a phrase today, and it's this. The day is at hand. Last few months I've been pondering four verses in the Bible. And I'm going to give you those four verses. The trouble is this. We get a hold of the truth of God. It would be better if the truth of God would get a hold of us. Sometimes we talk Christianity by the mile, but we walk it by the inch. Get four statements from the Word of God this afternoon. I'm thinking of that phrase in Philippians 4. Listen to it. The Lord is at hand. Now, I don't believe. Some teach it. I don't. I don't believe that's the coming of the Lord for his people. I believe that verse could be read like this. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is standing by. The Lord is at your elbow. So we're going to think of that phrase first of all. The Lord is at hand. Then secondly, we're going to go to 1 Peter 4 and read a verse like this. Listen to it. The end of all things are at hand. And then we're going to go to James chapter 5 and we'll read a verse like this. The coming of the Lord is at hand.
And then we'll come back to Romans chapter 13 and we'll read a verse like this. The day is at hand. Now let's think of those four things very quickly. The Lord is at hand. You know, if that verse gripped me and if that verse gripped you, how would it affect us? Listen to what it says. Let your moderation, let your gentleness, let your forbearing spirit, let your forgiving spirit be made known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. I once heard a brother say this: every Christian is not a gentleman, but every Christian ought to be a gentleman. Every man is not a gentleman, an unbeliever, but remember, every Christian ought to be a gentleman. Let your gentleness be made known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. I come to 1 Peter chapter 4, and I read those words. The end of all things is at hand. Be sober. That self word. Watch unto prayer. That's God word. Have fervent love amongst yourselves. That's saint word. What Peter is saying is this: I want you to be prudent. I want you to be prayerful. And I want you to be passionate, for the end of all things is at hand. Then I come to James chapter 5. Listen to what it says. Be patient. Establish your heart. For the coming of the Lord is at hand. You read James chapter 5 and you'll discover this. You read about a husbandman and he's marked by patience. You read about the prophets and they're marked by patience. And you read about Job, and he's marked by patience. And in the light of a soon coming Lord Jesus Christ, be patient, establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. And just before I close, let me say this now. The day is at hand. I tell you today, dear child of God, the night is far spent. And in the light of that, the day is at hand. Listen to what you read. Therefore, cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Remember the verse. It is high time to awake out of our sleep.